All right. Well, welcome to the table I built, where we believe resilience is strategy, purpose is power, and legacy is built one decision at a time. So pull up a chair. Your seat at the table is waiting. Well, podcast family, I'm Andrea Walton, and I'm so grateful that you're able to join us today. And I'm excited about today's episode about From Shadows to Strength. And on today's table, or at today's table, I'm joined by Bumi Owiku Mitchell. She is an HR executive, a mother whose story just really impacted me, one of resilience, growth, and strength. And she was also, like me, a teen mom, went to raising children. And while building her career, she's navigated loss and grief, and now stepping fully into her power. Olu is embodies what it means to lead with both courage and purpose. Olu, welcome to the table.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here and share my story. I was able to connect with Andrea a couple weeks ago currently, and I was really excited and inspired. I've been following her story, which was a lot relatable to my story, and just looking for, right, that additional support and encouragement as we navigate through not only our personal lives, but also our professional careers. Giving that strength and visibility helps you to become more open and vulnerable to real life relatable experiences, which to me gives you that growth, passion, and strength. That's where it comes from. So even though you may have that within, it magnifies as you connect with other people that have relatable stories that you can say, you know what? That actually happened to me too.
And that's right. Okay. That's right. I
so
love
I'm
that.
Very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for sharing. Well, since I have a micro podcast, we go about 10 minutes or less. We're going to jump right into the questions. So as you mentioned, you and I have a similar start. Both of us became teen moms, not on purpose, but it happens, right? Yes. And so how did becoming a teen mom so young shape your path and the way you saw yourself, especially as you were building your career?
So becoming a teen mom shaped my past. For one, I'm going to be vulnerable. I never really identified myself as a statistic until I got older, right? And realized, like, oh my goodness, I was a teen mom. It shaped my pathway because as I met my spouse, who later became my spouse, I identified with all of the roles that we play as women, especially as minority women. I wanted to make sure that my children had a family setting, but I also didn't want to lose my identity and who I actually was as a person, because I know playing the role as a mom, a wife, and then also still playing the career role, right? And climbing that ladder and trying to balance it while still paying attention to your mental health was something that I started to focus on internally. It shaped me by strengthening my inner power, but it also identified areas where I was weak as far as a challenge, not letting others help or not being as open, right, with things that I was questionable about or didn't know the answer because I felt like I can do this, I can do it all. Yeah. And in my quiet moments, I was steady reverting back to wanting to do or being that sole ownership of my life and my responsibilities instead of sharing that wealth, like how it takes a village, right, to raise a family.
Yeah, no, I so relate to that. I remember, you know, also being a teen mom, and I had dropped out of high school for a couple of years before going back and get my GED. And I remember in those quiet moments trying to figure everything out on my own. And like you, like, my mother was there to support my grandmother, family, but I wanted to figure it out so bad. And I, you know, with age and wisdom comes, you understand that you're not an island and that you need people around you. But I certainly relate to that.
Absolutely.
Now, when you went on to raise three amazing children, and while navigating corporate leadership, especially as a Black woman, what did balancing those two worlds look like for you? And what lessons did you carry forward?
The balancing of those two worlds were very challenging because I put on a face professionally during my 9 to 5. And when I came home, even though I will say, very much support, you know, the family support. I had the support of my spouse at the time prior to him passing, and we tried to make it work. We came from two different worlds. So his world and my world didn't mesh as much as we thought that it would. And then I tried to put an image or play that image out as this perfect family Cosby setting, as we see, right? As a minority group, Cosby Show was like one of our number one things. Mm-hmm. One of the lessons that I learned is that you have to give yourself grace and time to learn. Right. In my setting, I kind of grew with my children because I was younger and because I pushed myself out there, graduated early from high school, went on to college, and then still took on a full-time role. Wow. And then I identified with that aspect of how can I play these pieces and still act like I'm saving face and smile behind all of the worry and doubt.
That's
so my lesson learned would be give yourself grace and time. Open up to other individuals that have relatable situations, and also read. Read a lot of books that will help you when it comes to identifying what your value is or how you see yourself in the place of this world, but also have you see yourself in your family setting. Because your children are looking up to you, your spouse may be looking for that additional support, and who is giving you the support to continue and carry on.
Ooh, that's good. I mean, Bumi, that is perfect. So when you talk about books, because I'm also an avid reader, what's one book that really got you through or mentored you along the way?
So I will say it was a multitude of books, but one I'm gonna get the name because I'm gonna look it up because I knew I probably would be asked this question, but
all good.
It was kind of like it was kind of before like the theme Black Girl Magic. It was before. So there was a book that was called like a lady in a state, like a family estate. And it was called The Favorite Girl. And The Favorite Girl is by Monica Auer. And I'm not knowing if I'm pronouncing the name right, but it was talking about like taking a job at a wealthy Ivy family estate and discovering how people are like sinister. The reason it resonated with me is because that is the person that I saw myself as on that platform, reaching the top and still being able to make things work, but identifying when people are around you that may not need to be around you because they might not be the right support.
Oh, that's good.
Right? But giving you that bandwidth to know everything around you is for you to kind of like digest and internalize and really plug in the pieces that belong. You also have to have the strength to walk away from the pieces that don't.
That's good.
Right? And you're growing yourself. In every decade, you desire different things.
It's true.
So sometimes we hold on so hard, and sometimes it's okay to let go so that you can see other blessings that will come once you exhaust and let those things go.
That's good. That's good.
No. So I kind of identified myself in an imaginary way of this person coming in and saying, this is who I kind of want to be like, but in my own bed.
Yeah, and it taught you some valuable lessons too, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned when we initially talked about the passing of your husband back in 2021, you had to step into a new chapter, both personally and professionally, and having to navigate loss and grief. And I'm sure that reshaped your perspective too on life and leadership and even motherhood. So talk to us about that.
Okay. I never saw myself as a young widow at all. But I never pictured myself old in that relationship either, or seasoned in that relationship either. So I knew it might not have, you know, carried the long way. I think that one of the things I will give grace to our relationship that I learned is we always thought of making sure our family dynamics were strong. Even though we were picking up pieces ourselves within the marriage, right? Trying to find our own way. In leadership, I found myself having to fabricate my stories of my family life because we would have corporate dinners, or we would have things that we would need to go to. My spouse wasn't able to go at times. Because of other adversities, other areas that he was to come with. So I put on that face again with that smile, knowing that behind was so much worry. You know, I can do the job. I know I should be here. I know that I'm on this platform, but it seemed to be a not yet, but I was already pushed into it.
Yeah.
With motherhood, I wanted to make sure that I was the best mom that I can be. And I know that with me having the variations of my leadership roles, the hours, I was pulled away from that a lot of times. So my spouse did, he stepped in a lot, you know, as I worked far, because a lot of the jobs that paid well and compensated and actually gave me that level set were 45 minutes to an hour and a half away from the actual home. So I'm traveling back and forth, trying to do things. And one incident that I will recall that I want to share a lot with mothers out here that identify with still being professional in the room, you question yourself as a mother when something happens to your child. My oldest girl actually fell out coming from the bus.
Oh, no.
The bus wasn't that far from our home. She had gotten actually exhausted, ran from the bus to the house, and actually passed out in the doorway. Granted, the school system at the time had a middle school that was there as well. So my younger children were getting out of school and actually saw her in the door.
Oh my goodness.
Knew how to call 911, call my husband, called me. But at that time, I'm working a whole hour and something away. So they had to depend on neighbors, right? And then my husband coming back, wherever he was, you know, to kind of adhere to that situation in 911. One of the particular questions that was asked to my son at the time was, who is the relationship with the person that they were trying to like revive her with, like for a while. And they asked, well, is this your mom? And he told me the story later and was like, why did they think that was my mom? And she clearly looked like my sister, right? But I realized at that point, if I had to make a critical decision as a mom for my child's life, and because I'm working far away, I'm not able to do that. Because what if I didn't have those other connecting pieces?
Yes.
I would not be able to live with myself by driving from a job, trying to make a decision about a loved one, right? We put a lot of guilt on ourselves as well. As women who wear a lot of hats, as women who want to be phenomenal and who are phenomenal, who continue to inspire ourselves, even when no one else hears our voice, right? And we have to say internally, it's okay.
Yeah.
Make the right choices.
Yes.
That you should, not only for your family, but also for yourself. But you also have to understand, you don't get back the same people in your family. You can get another job.
That's right. That's right. That mom guilt.
So that's the lesson that I learned from that.
That's a powerful lesson. And you know, in our conversation early on, we talked about the impact of being a working mother and the sacrifices we make and that mom guilt. And, you know, I think we were sharing how I had saw a TikTok video of a gentleman who cleans tombstones. And in the video, he said that while he's cleaning the tombstones, all he ever reads was loving mother or good sister or, you know, loving father. But he never reads great CEO or great, you know, vice president, because none of that matters. And to your point, you can get another job. You can't replace your family.
You can't. Anything in between what I learned about the loss of a loved one, especially a spouse, at that young age, is that what really matters is how you all built that foundation. Yeah. But even if that's not there, what is the purpose in life? What is your purpose as you play these different roles? Because I realized that my children will never see what I experienced by having my father 40 plus years.
Right.
They won't experience that, right? And the family is actually covered in certain dynamics. Yeah. And when those dynamics are no longer there, you try to mimic that with a missing piece.
Yes, yes.
That's so that's good. Very challenging if you're not ready, but who is ever ready?
Who's ever ready? Who's
no
ever
one.
Ready?
No. That's one. Something you adapt to.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know?
Ooh, that's good. after our initial conversation, I think what struck me most about you is how you've navigated so much in like the shadows of leadership, meaning that you make things happen and sometimes not even being seen, but you just do it. My question for you is, does that resonate? And then now that you're in this season of blossoming, how do you define your power today?
That absolutely resonates. Being behind the scene where you have ideas and you see those ideas all of a sudden being in the boardroom that you know were conversations that you had internally through whether it was a performance review or whether it was a one-on-one, and you see your ideas come to life without you being that person in the forefront, it definitely stings, for one, but it also gives you ambition right? Mm-hmm. To create the seat at the table.
That's right.
Or create the table yourself.
That's right.
The lesson that I learned is not everything is meant to be spoken at that time. Sometimes you have to pause because those level sets that come when years of experience, right,
yes,
are had, or when foundations or when collaborations happen, mm-hmm, you still have that same dynamic ideas.
That's
they
right.
may just be crafted differently. And now you're able to really see it flourishing. Right.
Yeah.
Not everything is meant to be said at that time, but always make sure that you're treated with respect, with your mm-hmm. dignity. Mm-hmm. Identify, right?
Yeah.
Still identify that you bring a lot to the table, but sometimes you have to create it in your own timing.
That's good.
In leadership now, I see that there are other people that experience the same thing. And I always open that platform, right? Or segue to let that person's voice be heard.
That's good.
If someone on my team has an idea, I want to see them make that plan come all the way through because
yeah.
what I experienced, right? But I always tell them, this may not be a not now.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's a not.
Yes.
It may not be now,
right?
You have to have patience. So I've learned a lot of patience with that example.
That's
a
good.
Lot of patience.
That's good. All right, so for our last question, for people mm-hmm. who feel like their hard work is often overlooked, which I know you've experienced, or who are still figuring out how to bring their whole selves to the table, what encouragement would you share with them today?
Continue to be the best that you can be. Continue to write down your visions. I just shared something with you just recently about the conversation that we had when you advised me to, you know, inspire. What are some of the things that you're inspired to do? You have to focus more.
Yeah.
Focus on what it is that you really want to do. What is your purpose? Identify 3 to 5 things, platforms. Always have a backup plan. And when one either doesn't evolve the way that you think, put it on the back burner.
Yeah.
Right? But work things through completion so you know that you're able to succeed at it. Or if you fell at it, it doesn't mean that you actually failed. Oh, there's always a lesson learned from it.
That's
there's
right.
a lesson learned.
Okay.
So I identify with that. I've written down a couple of more things that inspire me. And then I want to continue to lay down that platform mm-hmm. of focus because we get caught into so many different areas and arenas, but you have to give a straight line. You know how they say the shortest distance
yeah.
is from point A to B, not A, B, C, D?
That's right.
It is.
Yeah.
Not to say you shouldn't have other multiple sources of income or ways of thinking, none of that, but you still have to focus.
That's right. Oh, that's good. What a powerful conversation, Bumi. Thank you. Your story
you.
Reminds us, those that are listening, that it's not just about your title, your position.
Mm-hmm.
It is about resilience and determination. And so thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I hope that this has inspired other people who feel like maybe their voices haven't heard or even feel like they've been passed on for an opportunity. It
yeah.
doesn't mean that it won't come back around.
That's good. Well, podcast family, thank you for joining us today. I hope her journey encourages you to reflect on your own path of resilience and recognize the strength you carry, even in the shadows, and to know that your voice and your presence matters at the table. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.